We're doing Makot. We're up to Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara again. Ha, Ketzad Ein Edim Nasim Zomim Mibayelein. The Mishnah should have said, how do Edim not get, do we not perform Kasher Zomam? You're not, what does that mean, Ketzad Edim Nasim Zomimin? The whole word Zomimin is that they get like they plotted. They're not getting what they plotted here. So the introduction of the Mishnah does not fit with the case that was given. Ve'od, further, second question. Midiktani lekaman, being that the Mishnah will say later on. אבל אמרו להם איך אתם יודעים שהרי באותו יום אתם הייתם עמנו במקום פלוני, הרי אלו זוממין. The Mishnah describes, what is a scenario of Edim Zomimin? If you have a case where the second set of witnesses say to them, how can you testify that day which you claim you saw the event? You were with us in such and such a place. And the Mishnah says that is how Edim become Edim Zomimin. So then what are you doing over here, earlier in the Masechta, asking me, how do Edim become Zomimin? You're going to answer that question later on. What's going on here? Answers the Gemara, one answer that will answer both questions. Tana Hasam Koi. The Tana, the one who is the author of the Mishnah, he, or the orator of the Mishnah, he is going on over there. So that's often in a line that we find in the beginning of a Masechet, where the Gemara will ask, it seems as though the Mishnah is beginning on in the middle of a topic. So the Gemara says, where did the Tana, what thought was he in the middle of? It sounds like he's starting in the middle of a thought. So then the Gemara will answer, Tana Hasam Koi. Oh, the Tana's coming off of something you already knew. You should have known. So many Masechtot start this way, where the Masechet tries to identify where are we starting? What's our starting point? So our starting point is really the Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin. So let's open up to the Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin. Most of you have a Sanhedrin in the back of your Makos. Just before Makos, you have a Sanhedrin. You don't, so you could come look in with me. No, then you'll block the camera. So come look in with me. Oh, you get to be on camera.
It's my hair.
But okay, Tana Hasam Kai. Sanhedrin Peites Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, and this is the very end of the 10th parak of Sanhedrin. Now, many of the Rishonim had the 10th parak as the final parak of Sanhedrin. They switched the 10th with the 11th, and what we have as the 10th was their final parak. So the last Mishnah of Sanhedrin was this. So it makes a lot of sense that coming off of Sanhedrin, off of the last Mishnah of Sanhedrin, you're in the middle of a thought. Now we pick up with that thought in the beginning of the next tractate, Makos. So what does it say in the Mishnah? It says like this. The Mishnah is listing different people who get the death penalty of chenek. So the Mishnah says, "Hamit nabei." We're in the first wide line. Let's do the whole Mishnah. See the whole thing already. Navi Asheker, a false prophet. The Mishnah again is listing who gets the death penalty of chenek. Navi Asheker, hamit nabei ma shelo shama. Navi Sheker, if he is testifying something that God didn't tell him, or something he didn't hear, even if a different prophet heard it, but he didn't hear it from God, so then he gets a death penalty in the hands of the court. But if someone withholds his prophecy, God sends him to prophesy and he refuses, like the prophet Yonah, according to Rashi. Or one who feels like, I'm not going to listen to what the prophet said. Or a prophet that he himself transgressed what he himself said. Mitato b'dei shamayim. They get the death penalty at the hands of heaven. Shneimar anochi idrosh meimo. The verse says, I will take him to task, so God takes care of him. Now we have the list. Who gets chenek? Hamitnabe b'shem avodat kochavim. If someone prophesies in the name of an idol, ve'omer kach amra avodat kochavim, and he says, this is what that idol, this is what they told me. Afilu kiven talacha, even if he says something that is correct halachically, letameta tame veleterta tahor, he comes in and he gives a correct halachic ruling, only he says, this is what this idol told me to say. So he gets a death penalty of chenek. Haba le shetish. כיוון שנרשות שנכנסה לרשות הבעל לנישואין אף על פי שלא נבלה הבעלה הרי זה בחנק. If a woman is a married woman, even if they didn't consummate the marriage, they haven't gone home yet, but they finished the wedding ceremony, she's his married wife, so then he gets the death penalty of חנק. זוממי בת כהן ובעלה, and the same is true of אדם זוממין, who testified falsely about the daughter of a Kohen, that she had an illicit relationship during the engagement period, and they testify that about her and another guy. They say, Joe Schmo and she went off, and we saw it, and we warned them, they did it anyways. So then they're found to be Edim Zomimin. So even though technically they tried to make her get the death penalty of Sreifa, and the Boel, they tried to make him get the death penalty of Chenek. So each one, well, they were trying to make two different death penalties with this testimony, but they get Chenek. Makdimin lo tamita, shekol hazomim makdimin lo tamita, chutz mezomimei bat kohen uvoala. Every type of eid zomim who tries to get someone else to get Chenek will get it, except for the eidim zomimin of the daughter of a Kohen and the person they claim she had an illicit relationship with. So that's going to be the exception, that if the daughter of a Kohen was married and they come and testify that she had an illicit relationship, so she's going to get Sreifa and the boil was going to get Chenek. What do the witnesses get? They get Chenek. Yeah? They get Chenek. Why?
She just has a special punishment.
Right, correct. So the Mishnah over there concludes with that idea that you have a situation of Edim Zomimin. They tried to give her a worse death penalty. They were trying to give her Sreifa, and yet they will get Chenek. They won't get exactly what they tried to give her. They're going to say, well, we tried to give him Chenek. Ah, we also tried to give her Sreifa. Okay, so there's a special derivation from the Pasuk that they don't get the Sreifa they were trying to administer to her, they get a lesser punishment of Chenek. Then along comes our Mishnah and says, well, what did we just see? That you can have a situation of Edim Zomimin who do not get exactly what they tried to administer. So then the Mishnah says, V'yesh Edim Zomimin Acherin, you have the place. And there's another type of Edim Zomimim, Shenosin Ben Din Azama Kolikar, where you won't perform Kasher Zomam at all. In the case of the Mishnah of Sanhedrin, at least they're getting the punishment they tried to administer to the man. Over here, they're not getting the punishment they tried to administer altogether. They're trying to make him into Cholol, or to make him go out into exile, and what are they going to get? They're going to get lashes. So that's where our Mishnah is starting off. It's a continuation from that Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin. At the end of Sanhedrin, we learned you don't always perform Kasher Zamam. Here we learn another case where you don't perform Kasher Zamam.
So, you know, the question is, why phrase it that way that they do?
So let's continue. Ela Malkut Arbaim, they're not going to get Kasher Zamam. All they're going to get is 40 lashes. Ketzad. How so? So Ketzad ha'edim na'asin zomimin is going back on the edim that we've been discussing. Ketzad ha'edim, how do witnesses that will not get kasher zomam na'asin zomimin, how can they become edim zomimin? So on that we answer, in the following case, they get makos. In the next case, they get makos. So how do witnesses who do not get kasher zomim become zomimin? Now, this is a bigger chiddush than it seems at first glance, because what we're saying is that this is a fulfillment of kasher zomim. We will derive from pesukim that they get lashes. But we have to understand there is a concept we'll see later on in the Masechet of edut she'i atayachol lehazima. If there is testimony that cannot become eid zomim, that the testimony cannot become a testimony of eidim zomimin, so then that testimony is unacceptable in court. There has to be a capacity for that testimony to become eidim zomimin, for those witnesses to get eidim hazama. So technically, we should say over here that you have no way of performing kasher zomim. You can't make him and all his generations afterwards into halalim. We have a derivation from the pasuk. You can't send him out into exile. Fine, so maybe I shouldn't accept this testimony altogether. If it's testimony that's not punishable, so we have a rule that when it's not punishable with kasher zomim, you will not be able to administer to them what they planned on giving the person they're testifying against. So then you shouldn't accept the testimony altogether. No. So that's what the Mishnah is really asking. How are you going to accept such testimony? And the Mishnah's answer is, because I give lashes. So the Mishnah is teaching us something bigger. The Mishnah isn't just telling me a technicality. You can't do it to give lashes. The Mishnah is saying, by giving lashes, you are fulfilling the responsibility of giving them kasher zomim. So when the Mishnah asks, ketzad eidim nasim zomimin, the Mishnah is going back on eidim like we saw in the previous Mishnah, where I cannot administer what they tried to give the defendant. So how do they become zomimin? And when the Mishnah answers, oh, I'll give you a case and I'll give you a punishment, what the Mishnah is saying is, let me show you scenarios where it is considered kasher zomim, even though I will not fulfill kasher zomim. So that's ketzad eidim nasim zomimin. We're not questioning how does it technically happen in court. We're questioning how is it considered. What can you do to make it considered that they got kasher zomim? So that's a whole new pshat in the Mishnah. Are we ready to continue? Yes?
There's a version. So Sanhedrin and Makot, there's a connection.
Yes.
There's a connection in all Masechtot, the order. How do we...
So that's a discussion in the Rambam, and Rav Shiragon, and the Meiri, and Tosfos. The Rishonim discussed that, and what we see is that certain tractates have an order. Rav Shri Raigon claims in his work that we don't have a tradition about the order of Masechtot, of all Masechtot. Certain Masechtot we do. The Gemara explains why Nidarim, Nazir, Sota. Why are they in that order? The Gemara explains. You have certain tractates that the Gemara explains why they're written in that order. But not all tractates, and it's not clear if we have a tradition on the order of all tractates. The Rambam gives a different order than Rav Shira Gaon. So it's not so clear that we have a tradition on all tractates, but some tractates, like here. Again, so I'm just going to read the answer again so we see how to word it in the Gemara. Tana hasam koi, the Tana is going on the Mishnah over there. Hasam is over there in Sanhedrin. Like Rashi explains that that's the last Mishnah of Sanhedrin. All Eidim Zomimin should anticipate. that they will get the same death penalty they tried to administer, chutz mizomei bat kohen uvala, except for edim zomemin who testified about the daughter of a kohen and the man they claim she cheated with. Shein makdimin lo tamita, they do not proceed to the death penalty they tried to administer, ela lemita acheret, but rather to a different death penalty, the death penalty of chenek. V'yesh edim, now this is the key sentence, which is what was missing from our Mishnah. V'yesh edim zomemim acherim she'en osin ben din hazama kol ikar. And then you have other edim zomemim that will not get anything similar to what they plotted on giving, ela malkut arbeim, but rather they get 40 lashes. Ketzad, how so? Medina no bishpon shu ben gushav en chalutza, en omrim yasezeh ben gushav en chalutza tachta, ela loket arbeim. Okay. Onward. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Sorry, Minani Mili. What is the source for this? What's the question?
So sources that someone could get a different punishment altogether.
So the question is, how do I know that he will not, that we don't make him into a challah? Why not administer the identical punishment? The Torah says administer to him, to the witness, as he plotted. Lo velo lezaro. Why did the Torah add the word lo? To stress, punish him, but not his children. So if you will make him into a challah, you will technically also be punishing his children, that they will also become halalim. Says the Gemara, okay, so v'lifselu ledidei, v'lo lifselu lezarei, fine, so why don't we just make him a halal? And says the Gemara, da'inan kasher zaman na'asot v'leka, but that's not what he plotted to do. He was planning on making the other guy and all his children edim halalim, so that would not be a fulfillment of kasher zaman. So here we see a very interesting point. We see that even though his testimony was directly about one person, if that testimony has ramifications, then that's part of the punishment he should get. Now really we should have noticed that in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says they're testifying about him that he is the son of a divorcee. So then technically their testimony is that his father did something wrong. But there you could say their testimony addressed him. The testimony said he is the son of. So you could say that, you see, they were focused on hurting him. But the question is, how far does that go? If they testify that so-and-so doesn't own his house, so now they're going to force him to lose his house and force his kids out into the cold. Are you going to say kasher zomah means take away their house and force them out into the cold? You don't say that. So then the question is, where do you draw the line? Why is it that by something halachic that has long-term ramifications, we say that's what they're planning on doing, so punish them that way? And when it comes to something monetary that could have long-term ramifications, the guy was about to close the deal. He has a multi-million dollar deal, but he has to put another $1 million for the down payment. And they come and testify that he took a vow that he won't put down that $1 million to finalize the down payment. So they want him to lose the whole house, right? Imagine a guy has a deal with the contractor. He has to pay $1 million a month. So, and if he fails 1 month, then the contractor keeps the money, and he's lost everything. So they walk into court and they say, we testify that he took a vow not to pay $1 million this month. What were they trying to make him lose? The whole building? I mean, how far am I going to take this and say there were going to be long-term ramifications? So this Gemara needs a lot of work. If we were learning B'iyun, we'd have to sit down and understand what that means. Back to our Gemara. Because the kids aren't here. Saying he would have technically made the kids that he would have into halalim. Okay. Barpada amar kal vachomer. Barpada says, we know this from a kal vachomer. Umam chalele no mitchalel. If a kohen himself marries a divorcee, So he is desecrating the holiness of his children, but he himself is not desecrated from being a Kohen. He's still a bona fide Kohen in many ways. So then these guys, these witnesses, that all they did was they plotted to make him into a halal, but they didn't even succeed. Certainly they shouldn't become halalim. Yes? Matkiv la Ravina. So Ravina comes with an attack. If you're going to use that logic, then you should never have a situation of Edim Zomimin. Because you could say that logic and then annul the whole concept of Edim Zomin. Just say, Umas sokele no niskal, if someone actually testified and they caused the murder of someone, they've testified falsely and they caused someone to get stoned. They won't get stoned, right? We said Edim Zomimim is only when they did not have the outcome. The courts ruled but did not administer yet. So let's say the same logic. If witnesses would have succeeded in getting one stoned through their lies, they won't get the death penalty of skila. So then you should say, then these witnesses, they them zomimim, all they did was plot. They didn't succeed. Certainly they shouldn't get the punishment. So you see, the Torah came and aborted that logic. That's exactly the concept of Edim Zomim. That the concept of Edim Zomim says, I don't take that into account, that they only plotted and didn't administer. I punish them as if they did succeed in doing it. But rather, machvarta, the white and clean teretz, is like we answered originally, that it's derived from the pasuk, basitem lo, do unto him but not his descendants. Lo velo lizaro, him and not his seed. So again, what do we see today? Let's summarize. We saw that our Mishnah is coming off of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, where the Mishnah described the situation where Edim Zomim do not get the identical punishment they wanted to administer. They wanted to give her Sreifa and him Skila, and him Chenek, and they'll only get Chenek. And then our Mishnah comes off of that and says, how can Edim become Zomimim if you're not going to administer Kasha Zomam altogether? And the Mishnah said, here you have two cases where they get lashes instead of what they planned on doing, and that's still called Kasha Zomam. Next, the Gemara asked, what's the source for this concept that you won't make them into Halalim? Why don't you really give them what they planned on doing to him? The answer is because you don't punish the next generation. We have a special derivation by Edim Zomimim, Basitem Lo, Velo Lizaro. So that was the answer which stood in the end. Bar Pada suggested, let's learn a fortiori. If a kohen who actually did the act, he married a grusha, his children get desecrated, but not him. So then these witnesses who only wanted to do the act, they weren't successful, certainly they shouldn't become desecrated. And that is attacked by Ravino, who says, you can't say that logic. The whole strength of Edim Zomimim refutes that logic. You see, Edim Zomimim get the punishment even though they didn't administer it. And if they would have administered it, they don't. Now, if you guys want to learn this with more depth, so then next time we could begin with an analysis of what was suggested and what was pushed off. Meaning, what was the Kavachomer and what was the answer? We gave one interpretation. There's a deeper interpretation. You'll let me know next time if you want to go into it.